I'm turning tonight to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3 and verse 18. Romans chapter 3, verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Extraordinary statement. And our subject is the personal effects of atheism or unbelief. I'd like to read one or two verses just before we begin. Verse 9 in the chapter, what then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Not even religious people genuinely seek after him, the creator of all things, a personal relationship with him. So there is no fear of God before their eyes. This comes from King David and his inspired 36th Psalm. There is no fear of God before their eyes. No fear, literally that. No alarm. That's the trouble with all people. He is not there. If he is there, he is not personal. He does not know what I do. He is not holy. And so, he is not in our reckoning. We do not consider him. The thought of him doesn't check our step, draw us up short when we sin against even our own consciences. He may indeed be remodeled if we wish. And mankind has been doing that down the years so many times, remodeling the very notion of God. Look at what the text says. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The scene of life, as they see it, is entirely earthly. God doesn't come into it at all. We see earthly things, material things, see career prospects, possible possessions, things you could enjoy, sin also. You see everything entirely in terms of this earth. Spiritual matters are not considered. God doesn't come into our view before we're converted. Gain, pleasure, sin. There is no fear of God before their eyes in all their view of things. He's never in the picture. God does not startle us. His existence, the possibility that he is there, that he sees, that he will hold us to account. That's the trouble with all people before God the Holy Spirit works. We've no sense of God. We've no sense of accountability to him. We've no restraint. We consider ourselves morally free to do as we wish. We have no fear of judgments. We may rewrite the rules of God. Society does that massively today, as you know. Even laws that have stood for centuries and concepts that have been held up by generation after generation can be swept aside today in moments. In these atheistic, unbelieving days, we're morally free. We can rewrite even the rules of God. We can abolish guilt. We can terminate the conscience, deaden it, anesthetize it, switch it off. Why, the conscience is no such thing as evil. There are some wrong things, deprivation of other people, taking of their lives, but beyond that, almost everything is now permissible. We've got rid of shame, the pain of shame. We've got rid of it. That's unbelief. Now, what I want to talk about for a few moments is this. What unbelief will do to you? People don't think along these lines. What will atheism do to you? What personal effects does it have? You may be a young person. You may be just now casting off into life's journey as an adult. Do you know how these things were going to affect you? Surely you think, I can be a believer, I can be an unbeliever. It's down to me. I will still be the same personality. I will be the same person. If I'm generous, I shall continue to be generous. Whatever are my traits and characteristics, weaknesses and strengths, these will not be changed. I will not be deeply affected or impaired. But it is important to know what unbelief will do to you. If you're sick and you have to have a very powerful medication, you want to read the small print on the leaflet that comes in the box. What will it do to you? What effect may it have on you? You've read some publicity about this particular medication. You've read about some of the things that can happen, and you want to know. You want your mind to be relieved. But we never think along these lines. When the box is atheism, unbelief, what are its side effects? What will it do to me? How will it affect me? Well, it will affect you greatly. You launch off in unbelief, and I say this not just to frighten you into Christian belief, but this is what the Christian message is about. It's a message of compassion. Do you know what this is going to do to you? Do you know the effect this will have upon you? You know, over the history of the Christian church, missionaries, ministers, spokesmen, right from the time of Paul and even behind him, have crossed mountains and seas and suffered shipwreck and diseases. I remember once being in a graveyard in Malaysia and seeing the numbers of missionaries there. It was an old Dutch graveyard, seeing the numbers of missionaries that died after literally months in the mission field there. Why has the Christian church been so anxious to speak to people, whatever the costs? Out of compassion, friends, do you know what unbelief will do to you? You know the effect on your mind, your personality, your outlook. Do you know how it will deprive you? Well, some of the things I'd like to tell you about. First of all, unbelief seriously limits you. It does. Because it will have you thinking and profoundly convinced that you are nothing but an animal. It will have you convinced you are just an animal. There is nothing special about being a human being. You are merely a higher animal. You do not have a soul. You do not have a conscience given to you by God. You can dissect that out. Your soul may be forgotten. Your potential to have eternal life and communion with God, you can discard. These are the most precious things you've got as a human being, created by God for Him. And atheism will have this effect upon you. All that will mean nothing. All that will be completely disbelieved and thrust aside. It's the biggest theft from you you'll ever have, to take your eternal hope, your unique humanness, your soul, your potential for communion with God. All these things will be taken away from you. And the conquest of sin in your life also. You'll be a weakened, deprived person. Did you know that? Did you know that would be the effect? You can go back to the little box of medication and look at the small print and all the things that just could possibly remotely happen. There's nothing in any of them that is as serious as this, to take away your soul and your eternal possibilities. That's atheism. That's why we must speak against atheism and unbelief. Simply because we're against it, because it's against us? No, because of what it does to you and the effect of what that it'll have on you. And then here's another aspect of this, and I make a separate section of it. Unbelief or atheism will take away most of your understanding. Now, you could be an atomic scientist. You could be a person of tremendous intellectual depth, and yet atheism, unbelief, will take away an enormous amount of your capacity to understand. Of course it will, dear friends. It takes from you any possibility of understanding the purpose of life, because its creed is here today, gone tomorrow. Just an animal. It's not quite the same point as I made before, but there's no purpose. Created by God, out. For union with Him and eternity, out. We don't want that. You'll never inquire into that. You'll never desire that. You'll never understand how that may be achieved. It'll take away from you any capability of understanding the great whys of life. You may know a lot about the hows, how processes are carried on. You may know a great deal about, say, medical science and the incredible processes that are going on in the human body and the reactions and the various pathways of action. But you won't know the answer to any of the whys. Why? Why is it so? Why are we here? Why is the world as it is? Why is human nature so weak? Why do we have standards of right and wrong? And why are we unable to keep them? What is the explanation for all these things, the most profound and searching questions concerning human life? You'll never know, because what has been taken away from you is any access to revealed truth. That is God speaking in by revelation in His Word and giving the divine, eternal explanation from all things. You're cut off from that. It's taken, torn away from you. This is the effect of unbelief or atheism. There's no fall. There's no depravity. You'll know nothing about God. You'll know nothing about His plans. You'll know nothing about His salvation. You'll know nothing about His standards. All these things are taken from you. You'll know nothing about the reasons, say, for the sex boundaries. A lot of modern society, they don't understand the reason for these boundaries. Therefore, they crash through them, and the results will be terrifying. But they can't see it coming. We make ourselves naive because we eradicate all access to divine knowledge, to God-given knowledge. That's the cruelty, the effect of unbelief. And let me tell you something else. You may react from this, so I put it gently. Do you know, atheism, like nothing else on earth, will make you proud? It'll make you arrogant. Oh, how dare you say that? That's just your opinion. No, we can prove it. Atheism, unbelief, will make you arrogant. You may have a nice degree of modesty in your personality now, if you're young. You'll have pride too. Every human being has it. But you may have a nice degree, a nice reach of modesty. You'll lose it. As an unbeliever, as an atheist, it'll soon disappear. Because, you see, the wicked, through pride, will not seek after God, we read in Psalm 10. The reason is, if you're an unbeliever in God and an atheist, there's pretty well no one higher than you. There's a pecking order in the world, and you're not at the top end of it. But why? You're a human being, and we're all the same, and there's nobody higher than you. There's no God. And of course that's going to make you proud. It's going to make you arrogant. You're king of self. Everything you achieve is to your own credit. If you've got a fine physique, you're soon thinking, I did this. You don't believe in a creator. You don't give thanks for any gift, any power, any propensity. It's you. You may have the credit for it, as though you made yourself. You are center stage. In everything, pretty well. If you're an unbeliever, if you're an atheist, you can insult the Creator. You can't get higher than that. I'd tear him down from heaven and insult him and slander him. I aim high. If I can crush him, well, you're the highest being then. That's the effect of atheism. Nobody can tell you what to do. You are supreme. It's an inevitable effect. And soon, as society does, you'll approve gigantic moral experiments which previous generations would have shied away from in terror. Now you see how human pride gets worse and worse. Rip that out, change this, change that, make evil right, make right wrong, penalize the people who believe in the old standards. Why, arrogance mounts and mounts and mounts if you're an unbeliever, because you're king in the universe and you have contempt for all past wisdom, and you become very opinionated. Do you think I'm being unfair? Well, you see it. The more unbelief and atheism in society, the more arrogant is that society, the more proud, and it'll affect you. And some of you are very nice youngsters, but you won't be in 10 years' time. If you're scooped up by atheism and unbelief, you'll be changed. There's no question about it. And then unbelief in atheism promotes, like nothing else, hatred of God. Because you can't live in peace with religion. You've got to hate it. You've got to become more severe in that hatred. God is in the way. Pull him down. Get rid of him. You notice the intolerance of atheism? I just heard before, yesterday I think it was, the latest opinion polls that close the faith schools, shut them down. The hatred of God, you never know where it's going to be manifested next. Why, they're doing no harm, so far as I can see. But, oh, we're going to hate them because they're connected with God. Why, most of them don't even have much religion in them these days. But we'll still hate them because their faith, that must mean God. We must be against it. That's the way we get. Atheism is very intolerant. It's very cruel, actually, and domineering, atheism. It wants to take over society lock, stock and barrel. As I say, it won't live in peace with churches. It doesn't want any competitors. It excludes all argument. Have you ever seen what happens on the television programs when they do evolution and all these things? Always the thing is cooked. Always there is not allowed to be any argument. Banish any other point of view but our atheistic, materialistic point of view. It's so intolerant. It brainwashes people. I hope you don't think I brainwash people. As this message proceeds, I will be saying to you, come to Jesus Christ. Trust him. I will be appealing to you. I will be trying to reason with you. I will be urging you and remonstrating with you. But I will not be brainwashing you, because you must come for yourself. And I respect that. You must come because it is in your heart to come. You must come because you feel the need, by the work of God in your heart, to repent of your sin and to come for the salvation which is in Christ. That's what the Christian church does. It appeals, it reasons, it appeals to your will, to your mind, to your conscience. But atheism doesn't work like that. It says, banish all opposition, brainwash. That's its method. Perhaps it's caught you. Perhaps you say, I don't like this message. I am an atheist. I do not accept this and accept that. Why? Because that's what you've been told to believe. You've probably been brainwashed. Why, the evolution class doesn't reason with you. It just bludgeons you and wears you down and insists that these are facts when they're only theories. But the Christian gospel is quite different. No, atheism is domineering. It abuses fiction even, wholesale. And it's the most abusive of faith. So I'm going to come to this in a minute, because atheism actually is a faith. But you look at the atheist websites, I don't mind whether it's the websites of various well-known people, but there is no website more abusive than an atheist website. And the language and the tone is so awful sometimes, you'd think we religious people, well, we'd stepped out of hell. Why, the things that are said about us and to us. But let me mention this too. If you're an unbeliever, if you're an atheist, you are an enthusiast for something which is so weak. Atheism has no remedies for anything. Atheism cannot build your character or help you to build your character. It's never been able to do that. Has no counsel for you that works along these lines. It can only destroy your character and pull you down and tell you you may have access to every kind of sin you want. It doesn't change people. Atheism will never produce unselfishness. This point has been made endlessly by so many people. Why, even people who have no axe to grind, they'll say, well, there are the churches doing all kinds of good things, and you'll never see any society connected with atheism involved in good works and compassionate operations, and you won't. Atheism can't make people good. It never has done, and it never will do. It can't cure drunkenness or violence. It has no remedy for grief. It has no remedy to help you face death. No message for life beyond. It's the most bleak, colourless, empty, negative, hostile to God message. And it cannot achieve anything. But unbelief is a religion. There's no doubt about it. Do you believe the theory of evolution? Why do you believe that? By faith. It cannot be proved. The difficulties and the snags are so immense, and it's not for me to discuss them now. You accept it by faith. That's all. Anybody tells you something religious, oh, I'm not sure about this. What about this? What about this? What? I don't mind. Question it as much as you like. You're entitled to do that. Ask the questions. But you never behave like that with evolution. They tell you something, it's just a completely bombastic statement, and you accept it. That's brainwashing. But that's atheism. That's unbelief. It inspires zeal and it requires faith. At the end of the day, what is the origin of life? Says Professor Richard Dawkins, oh, it came from outer space. Yes, I agree. At the end of the day, you cannot give any rational explanation as to how it could possibly have arisen on this planet. That he agrees with. Then where did it come from? Oh, probably from a constellation far beyond our powers to know about or see. You have to believe that there are thousands of constellations out there beyond the human eye or telescope, or radio telescope or anything, and from there has come life, and it's drifted all the way through space and landed up on Earth and seeded itself here. Are you going to believe that? Do you really know what evolution teaches? What's ultimately behind it? And would you then dare ask the question, well, what about there? It must have started there. Well, we can't tell about there. It's too far away. It's circumstances we don't understand. But by faith, you've got to accept any explanation for life other than creation and how it came about and how chaos, supposedly, gave rise to order. Chaos gave rise to great complexity and aspects of human life and art that are so beautiful. There's no explanation for those things. You have to accept. Atheism is a religion. And if I may say so, it requires more faith than to believe in the Christian faith and to believe in the Bible and the revelation of God. So if you haven't got much faith, be a Christian. It's a lot more straightforward and belief in atheism. But you didn't know that you were exercising faith in atheism. You didn't even know. Your faith was an unintelligent faith. Now, I hope I haven't just got you wild, but these things are true. And dear friends, atheism is the last disaster ever recorded in the Bible. You could read about it, but I won't detain you with this. In 2 Thessalonians, Where are these great words of the Apostle Paul, chapter 2 and verses 3 to 4? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the last day, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, that is the man of lawlessness, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Lawlessness. And we see our society descending gradually into that. No, all rejection of divine law. That is the last great event of time, according to the Bible. Don't be an atheist, dear friends. How it'll change you, it will limit you. It will limit your understanding. It'll promote your pride and arrogance. It'll bring you to hate God. It'll make you cruel and domineering in your attitude to life and to these things. Gives you no remedy or hope for anything. And it is a religious faith. And it is the last disaster of the Bible. Well, dear friends, let me tell you how the gospel of Jesus Christ is the very opposite. Will the gospel limit you? If you come to Christ and you pray for life and forgiveness, for conversion and for heaven? No, dear friends, it will liberate you, will not limit you. It will liberate you. It'll give you new life and a new character and a new nature. And it'll give you union with God and it'll give you eternal life. It's the opposite of atheism. Atheism will take away your understanding. To come to Christ, you begin to understand. You begin to understand his word. You understand about God. You understand about man and his nature and his fall. You understand about salvation. You understand the plans of God, his great and wonderful things. Will it make you proud? No, it'll make you humble. That's the Christian faith, is all about repenting of my sin, depending on Christ for salvation, how he suffered and died on Calvary's cross. The Christian faith tells me I cannot earn or deserve the forgiveness of God and eternal life. I must believe in Christ who came from heaven, took away my sin on Calvary's cross, if I believe in him, and will give me salvation freely by his grace. We read about it in Romans chapter 3. Oh, dear friends, it's then about worshipping him and serving him and helping others. This is about humility, to become a person who is gentle and humble and unselfish, has the opposite effect upon you than that of atheism. And you won't hate God, you'll love him. And to be a Christian is the opposite of being cruel. I've already mentioned Christianity informs and pleads and remonstrates and appeals and prays for you. Somebody's probably praying for you. I don't know how you came to be in this church tonight, but it may be somebody introduced you here. Somebody's concerned for your soul. Somebody's praying for you. You may have somebody who prays every day for you, who lifts you up before God, before the throne of grace. Lord, bless this young man. Bless this young woman. Touch his heart. Touch her heart. Bring him to the only Saviour. That's Christianity. It's unselfish. It's concerned. And it has all the remedies you need. Christianity will make you a better person. You come to Christ and you're converted. Then you're in a new warfare against sin. And God will help you and he'll shape you and change you as the time goes by. And when you face death, he'll give you all the comfort you need, because you've proved Christ and he's heard your prayers for years and you know you're going home to him. It's the opposite of atheism in every respect. Yes, atheism is a religion, and so of course is Christianity, but it's the true religion. And it rewards faith in Christ so immensely, so wonderfully. I'm going to close just by reading some verses from this third chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. First of all, the ones we've looked at, as it is written, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. The same words in verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And then I read from verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen to this, greatest message in the universe. Being justified freely by his grace, unearned, undeserved, that means, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a cover of your sins, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. He bore away sin for his people. He earned righteousness to be imputed to them. Righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness. Oh, to have his righteousness imputed to me, so that I will be received acceptable by Almighty God, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So, dear friends, don't be swept away by unbelief and atheism. For your soul's sake, for your character's sake, for your happiness' sake, for your eternal future's sake, note what it will do for with you and for you. But come to Jesus Christ, the only Saviour, who made and suffered an atoning death to purchase the right to forgive our sins and to secure for us everlasting salvation. Come to him, seek him, and find him. Let's pray, friends. Our loving Heavenly Father, look upon us all. Take away contempt for our dear Saviour. Take away foolish disregard. O Lord, come in mercy and visit our souls and save young and old, even this night. Come and bless in thine unspeakable compassion and love. O Lord, help us all. We ask it in the name of our Saviour, for his sake. Amen.